The all-new Toyota RAV4 asks, what if? What if your ride was refined and rugged at the same time? Introducing the all-new RAV4 Hybrid. 208 combined horsepower and standard all-wheel drive make it the most powerful RAV4. Plus, with its head-turning style and breakaway speed, it's bound to change the way you think of a hybrid. The all-new RAV4 Hybrid. Toyota. Let's go places. Horsepower. Ratings achieved using the required premium unleaded gasoline with an octane rating of 91 or higher. Premium fuel is not used. Performance will decrease.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 76 of Tatooine Sons. Star Wars is basically modern mythology, with the hero's journey the central theme. But you can't have a hero's journey without a father figure to help our protagonists leave the safety of the life they've known and enter into the larger world. On this special Father's Day episode, we'll discuss why fathers and father figures are so important to Star Wars, and we will reveal who our favorite Star Wars daddies are.
I am your father.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look at all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Who has absolutely no idea what his Achuta is going to be.
I think it hit
him about 14 seconds ago, and we could see it on his face.
So I had a little bit of delay before saying that, trying to give him as much time as I could.
Achuta.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you can still appreciate fathers.
You should still appreciate fathers, even if you've not had
He didn't have a lot of time, okay?
Yeah, it was good. All right, good.
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the protector, that guy. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thanks. How you guys doing?
Good, yeah.
Good. It's good to have our house back. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I mean, I liked having Tristan here and Grammy, or your me, mom, papa, your grandparents. But I've also liked having our house back.
Yeah. Normalcy.
Yeah, that's cool. So I got to ask, what are we doing for Father's Day?
Good idea. What do you want to do? It's not our priority.
It is. It's you guys should be thinking about what you want to do with me and for me, not me figuring out what I want to do.
Okay.
So what do you guys think we should do?
Well, I'm pretty sure you know what we're thinking, but I don't know.
Don't share it with me. Come on, let's go.
Star Wars marathon. Or finish up our Lord of the Rings marathon that we never actually finished.
I'm not really into the Lord of the Rings marathon part thing, so we're probably not going to do that. But I could see a Star Wars marathon.
I don't know.
We did that for my birthday. We did that modified, like, sort of weird thing where we added in a bunch of Resistance episodes and
we only watched like Force Awakens.
We watched sequel trilogy stuff. And we watched some Resistance Resistance episode and Battlefront 2 cutscenes. The Resurrection
and it really
DLC.
Worked all well. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe do a prequel or something.
Well, there's not like much to do with it. We can't listen to Dooku and then go into episode one.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying, you know, it'd be kind of cool. We'll have to think.
Maybe you'll have to think.
I don't want to have to think about it though. Hey, I haven't. Well, are you guys gonna buy me? Let me see. Am I getting ahead? Yeah. No, okay. I'll come back to that. No. Well, it'll be fun, and I'm glad to hang out with you guys. That'll be awesome.
Okay.
All right. You sure? You guys should come up with something though. Are you gonna get me my Rise of Skywalker T-shirt? I asked for. I hope so.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Because
you guys on the podcast can't
see. All right, so we're going to have a real... We're going to add something... We're going to add a little something different to this week's contest. No, we don't have that contest. We're going to... Yeah, so we have... You know, we mentioned last week we had a new Patreon supporter, DJ Blake, who's become really, excited about promoting Make Jervis Canon stuff. And he sent us a couple of voice messages. And I'm going to save the first one that DJ sent for another episode. But he sent one today, which I thought was actually kind of interesting. I mean, the other one was interesting too, but this one was like longer and I liked it. So
better.
I'm gonna, well, not better, just different. So we're gonna listen to DJ and then we're gonna answer his question as part of our opening segment today. Is that cool? You guys good with that?
Sounds good.
Greetings, Star Wars family. Another question for you. My mind has traveled again down into that garbage chute where I come up with wild, crazy ideas or possible theories. This theory is, would it be possible for Darth Sidious to be not who we think he is? Palpatine, the big bad, is not who we think he is, but it's actually Darth Plagueis. He has found the secret of eternal life. He finds Force-sensitive pupils, trains them, then kills them and takes over their body and their persona. And just keeps repeating the process. He keeps finding stronger apprentices to take on. If they don't work out, such as Dooku or Maul, then he gets rid of them, finds somebody else, and when they're ready, he will take over. The most powerful force beings being the Skywalkers, they would be amazing for him to get, corrupt, and then take over. And keep on that legacy of Darth Plagueis. Tell me what you think. Till next time.
Sounds like a blinker in the background.
Well, he was actually at a... I don't remember what he said. He was at work, I think, when he did this.
Okay.
Interesting.
What do you think about this idea?
I had thought of that. I had thought of the secret to eternal life is just reincarnation in a way.
Like he's transferring his essence from one body to the next.
So when his body dies, his current host body dies, he just transfers to another one. So, Sheev kills Plagueis, but Plagueis just transfers to Sheev. Then when Sheev dies... He transfers to Snoke. Mm-hmm. And then when Snoke dies, well, we don't really know where to go from that because we haven't seen the Rise of Skywalker. But
maybe he transfers to Kylo.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's very well possible, but I feel like that's kind of what happens. He goes to Snoke and then he goes...
What do you think about this idea of BB-8?
A little strange. It's an idea that I think people have thought about before, but I thought about it, but I never really touched on it because... For me, it sounds like such a crazy idea, but now that Palpatine is back, it's very possible.
Normally my kicker for a theory, my debunker is, well, are they able to explain it in a movie? Is it would fit in? I don't feel like this would be that difficult.
No, I think that it could fit in
as a villain monologue really easily.
I think he'd be too...
You good?
Too much of a...
You okay there, Dan?
No, I'm good. I thought I heard something. So.
Okay. You're freaking me out there for a second. No, I feel like it could fit in naturally.
Yes, under, like, I feel like it would be a little weird for him to just...
Well, here's my thoughts on it. I think it's a really... I would put it in the plausible category, and here's why. I could see the whole Plagueis... Palpatine thing taking place like he suggests, where, Palpatine thinks he's killing... Plagueis, But that's maybe Plagueis' plan all along.
Right.
And then he transfers his essence because, you know, Palpatine has become complete dark side. He's killing his own master. That's the end. You know, that's rule of two level
right.
type stuff. He's full on Sith. So he kills Plagueis. Plagueis actually just transfers his body into Palpatine. And he's functioning as Palpatine this whole time. But he's really, it's just Plagueis, right? And so the plan was for him to do the same thing with Anakin. Mm-hmm. But then Anakin becomes completely... a shell of himself with the what happens on Mustafar.
Mm-hmm. And then he, at the end, he just turns full light side too.
Right. And so then I think that maybe, you know, he's trying to figure, I think Palpatine's, or Plagueis in this case,
Plagatine?
I'm a little confused. But anyway, Plagatine. He's transfer, you know, he's trying to figure out, what do I do with Vader? I mean, Anakin was the guy that I planned on transferring my essence to. He was the greatest. He's the chosen one, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But then he doesn't know what to do with it. Then he hears about Luke. And so he tries to use Vader to corrupt Luke. Remember, that's all everything that happens in Return of the Jedi. Okay. His plan was to turn Luke into this. It's my theory.
Yeah, let him.
All right, I get a theory. Okay, so then he gets Luke. But that doesn't work because Vader kills... Luke throws down the lightsaber and says, I'm a Jedi like my father before me. Vader throws Palpatine. So now Vader goes light side and she doesn't know, you know, what is going to happen with Plagueis' essence now that's no longer in the Emperor's.
Right.
Hold on. He transfers into Snoke somehow. We don't know who Snoke is.
Maybe they met previously.
Who knows? Maybe Snoke is, I don't know, in the bowels of the Empire. But he's got to be dark side. We know that somehow.
What if he's one of the royal guards?
Could be. So anyway, he's like, or maybe he's just a second. I don't know. There's a plot hole there I can't figure out.
They can retcon that pretty easy.
And so Snoke is making the plans of trying to do this with Ben Solo. Mm-hmm. Or Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. And that's the plan. But now Rey rises up. And is it Rey? Is it the other? Maybe the Emperor was creating clones of Jedi characters. And he's like, we'll wait for these clones to come up. Mm-hmm. And I can use those to constantly transfer into the clones. Which goes back to very Timothy Zahn, Dark Empire level stuff from the comics and that series in Legends. So... that's my idea. What do you think? You're BB Nate.
So I have like two things, but one of them is not related to this. But the one thing that it does relate to is, it's kind of funny, but maybe he transfers his self into Mace Windu.
Nah. So Mace Windu is actually Snoke?
Yeah, I've heard that one.
That is a weird one.
That doesn't could work.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
But the thing that's not related to this at all is you were talking about Dark Empire, and it got me thinking of the new games they're re-releasing.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about that later.
Yes, but what I'm wondering about is, since they're re-releasing it with Lucasfilm, does that make them canon now?
No, not at all. Okay. All right. So thank you, DJ. Thank you. It was a great question. We had some really good little fun conversation. I hope we answered your question and you like our answers. With that. If you want to become a Patreon supporter, we'd love for you guys to do that. You can just go to patreon.com/TatooineSons. You can start out for as little as $1 a month. It helps us put our show out. You can be all the way up into the producer level at $10 a month or more, and you can look at all the different tiers there and all the fun stuff that we're working on getting out to you guys this week, Patreon supporters. So thanks for your patience. You guys are awesome. It's hard working a full-time podcast and a full-time job and being a full-time dad and kids. So it kind of feels like that sometimes. So thank you guys for your patience. I guess that's going to do it. Why don't we go into this week's podcast poll of... Why don't we go into last week's podcast poll of the week?
Get to Old Navy's Best of Summer sale now for the best summer styles at the best prices. Get $2 flip-flops, $4 tanks, $6 tees, and $8 dresses and shorts for the whole family. Summer styles are just $2, $4, $6, and $8. $2 flip-flops, $4 tanks, $6 tees, and $8 dresses and shorts. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store for free. End soon at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 6/10 to 6/18. Excludes gift cards, today only and two-day only deals. Store clearance, register lane items, and jewelry.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
What?
No!
Okay, Nathan. Those of you watching on video, if we ever get the video uploaded to YouTube, sorry about last week, guys. We'll hopefully get it up there someday. Anyway, maybe you'll see what Nathan was doing, and you can be as disturbed as we are. Okay. Which season, last week's podcast poll of the week, which season 7 arc of The Clone Wars are you most excited about when it returns in November? Which some people are suggesting it's not returning in November. It's returning in November, right?
I'm pretty sure it is, but it's definitely returning this year.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I don't know why they're telling me that. All right. We got three comments. We'll come back to those in a minute. But anyway, we had four options. Well, yeah. Three of them actually were about the arcs. And then the last one was just, I don't know, comment below. Bad Batch, Ahsoka Tano, Siege of Mandalore, and then whatever you wanted to come up with on your own. Bad Batch came in dead last. Well, I mean, other comment below was 2%, but it was not supposed to be much. 6% for Bad Batch. A little concerned about that. I thought that more people would be excited about Bad Batch.
I don't know about Bad Batch. They don't watch Clone Wars for.
Or maybe they just assume they've already seen the arc because of the first version that was released, so they don't need to see it again. Okay. You yawn a lot on this show.
I don't know why. Okay. It's just this show. I don't yawn that much.
Is it that boring? It's so boring you can't even get through it when you're doing boring. It?
It's just it happens. I'm not bored.
41% said Ahsoka Tano and sort of what happens to her after the events of season 5. And then 51% Siege of Mandalore. You guys notice I said season 7 arc? I was wrong.
Oh, you messed up.
I was wrong last week. So apparently when they released it or did it the live stream during Star Wars Celebration and they kept saying season 6, that was a mistake and they've come out and said that. So I was confused. So anyway.
Okay.
It's a season 7 arc. All right. So we had three comments below. And if you commented and we chose you, thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for commenting even if we didn't choose you. We love reading your comments on these Twitter polls. So thank you guys for being a part of that. But if we chose your comment, congratulations. You're going to get a Make Turbos Canon sticker if we ever decide to mail those out. So we're working on that this week, like our Patreon supporter stuff. So Danny Blackburn. First of all, Danny, not only did he make an amazing comment down here that we're going to read in just a second, but he attached to it a very amazing artist's rendition of Ahsoka. So it was fantastic. That's one of the reasons I chose it.
What's his Twitter handle?
Danny Blackburn 7. It's yikes. It's
that's why I asked the question.
At Danny, I don't know if that's BL or BI. Probably BL 227-588-46.
Is this
a
phone number?
This is madness.
Okay. Anyway, Danny, who's interacts with us all the time on Twitter, so it was an awesome response. I love Ahsoka, so I'm most excited for her in season 7. She's become a very important character in the Star Wars universe, and I'm hoping that we will at some stage get a spin-off covering Ahsoka's journey to after the fall of the Empire, and then with Sabine to search for Ezra. I would like that tremendously. Very good choice, Danny. All right, who's got the next one?
So, Omar Garibay. I'm not going to try to botch that, but that's just the way it looks. And his Twitter handle is at Omar Garibay 8.
Garibay 8.
Okay, and he said, I'm just excited for the whole experience. We've all been waiting a long time for this moment. I can't wait to see Ahsoka and Maul. I can't wait to see Anakin and Ahsoka interact. I'm ready for it all.
So I think his Siege of Mandalore type stuff is what he's really... I mean, the whole experience, but what he's talking about is all Siege of Mandalore driven stuff on that. All right, cool. What about you, Mr. Sam?
Oh, and you were worried about botching the last time in your comment. This is from Guidotti. Lindsay Guidotti.
Great.
Guidotti. I'm sorry if I butchered your last name. And her Twitter handle is at the Lady of Lore.
Yeah, very nice Twitter handle. Very, very, very well done. Thank you, Lindsay.
And she commented, even though we know how it ends, but I can't wait to experience the siege.
Yeah, so she's a Siege of Mandalore. I think that's,
She probably read Ahsoka, that's why she
That's good. So, where did we end up? Did you say Bad Batch, Sam?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Bad Batch. Easy.
So, what about you? Siege of Mandalore or Ahsoka stuff?
Oh, Bad Batch. Siege of Mandalore. I'm just excited.
Siege of Mandalore.
I could just watch the Bad Batch stuff and be fine.
Wow.
I'm excited to see the backlash.
The backlash. Oh, what they said was going to what happens in the book.
What actually happens,
in the book when that happens. Yeah, you explained that after the show last week, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to create some fanboy.
But it's still going to be...
Fanboy tears, baby. Those are coming.
It's going to be really cool.
All right.
I love it.
Well, I guess that's going to do it for our poll stuff. Why don't we go ahead and bring in JG Cars to do a little hot takes. I think I have an idea what the general topic is, but we'll see in just a second. What's up, JG? How you doing, man?
Doing pretty well.
Good. Good to have you back this week.
Yes, it was definitely crazy last week, but I'm back and ready.
Yeah, I thought Trista did all right, though, covering the hot takes last week. What'd you think?
Oh, definitely. Being a huge Clone Wars fan, it was so awesome hearing his takes and everything. I thought it was one of the best. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I thought he did well, too. So, and he was super excited. Like, for 4 or 5 days afterwards, he's like, man, I enjoyed doing that podcast. That was so much fun. So, yeah, well, it's cool. But we're glad to have you back. All right, so take it, man. We're going to talk about games. So, go for it.
Yes. So, with the video game press conferences wrapping up and E3 officially starting, we take a look at everything that broke in regards to Star Wars with retro gaming, Lego, and, of course, Jedi Fallen Order. It's time for Hot Takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Is it time to try some of the retro video games again? Jordan Rame of GameSpot.com wrote, Limited Run, a company that makes physical versions of popular digital-only PlayStation and Nintendo Switch game, held its own E3 press conference this year. During the show, it made a surprise announcement that a physical collection of classic Star Wars games is on the way, including some beloved titles from a decade long ago. The collection includes a bunch of Star Wars games, including The Empire Strikes Back, X-Wing, Rebel Assault 1 and 2, TIE Fighter, Dark Forces, Shadows of the Empire, Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2, Episode 1 Racer, Bounty Hunter, the Jedi Knight series, and Racer Revenge. Now, with this retro gaming news breaking, along with all this other crazy modern news, is this something that interests you, or do you think she just let the past die, as Kylo says?
Oh, I'm really excited for this. I was just scrolling through Facebook and saw this and got really excited for it because I've always liked the retro games, and apparently they're also bringing back Jedi Knight series, which I'm that I've always wanted to play it, but just never really had the ability to. And so I'm really excited to have that on there. But I heard that the first game is going to be Bounty Hunter, and it's going to be releasing June 28th.
Wow, that's just a few weeks.
Yeah, we already have it though on our PlayStation.
But
we got it when we got the PS4. We had the bundle with Battlefront, and it came with 3 retro games on it too. So we already technically have Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, but a lot of these games we don't have, like the Dark Forces stuff that we were actually talking about Dark Forces in the previous segment a couple segments ago. So,
but you're saying that this company makes Nintendo Switch and PS4 remastered games, but not Xbox.
Yeah, so is this, JG, do you know if this is going to be on Xbox at all?
I did not look deeply into it. With the fact that it said specifically that they do it for PlayStation and Switch, it sounds like it's not for Xbox, but don't quote me.
Well, that's going to stink for them.
Yes, but I also, people are really excited because apparently they're teaming up with LucasArts for not just Star Wars games, but for more than that, LucasArts games, more than just...
So some of the old school LucasArts stuff?
I heard that people are really excited about Monkey's Island because right at the end of the trailer they gave a big gap and then they played the theme of that at the end.
Oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Tease.
What do you think about this, and maybe what game are you most looking forward to, Sam?
Well, I'm excited for it. It's cool to finally, you know, get access back to those older games. I mean, we had played at, what was it, Battlefront and Battlefront 2, the original ones.
Yes, but it's not going to be on there. Not announced yet.
I mean, of the games, none of them really stuck out to me at first. I was really hoping for Republic Commando. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to play that one for a while. But of those, probably Dark Forces. I'll say Dark Forces. I think it's cool, though, because then it'll give access to these games to younger audiences, much like Nathan and I.
That's kind of cool. Hey, JG, maybe you can help me fill in some memory gaps that I have here. Shadows of the Empire, was that originally a comic book series that they played into a game, or was it a game that they moved into a comic book series? Do you remember?
I believe it was a comic and they went into video game.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm curious. I love the Dark Forces stuff. I'm curious about that. That looks like it's going to be really good. Let's see. Empire Strikes Back. I'm not sure I remember that one.
It's like an 8-bit kind of game. We have the original Star Wars 8-bit game.
That's like a 32-bit.
Ours is like Super Star Wars. It's different. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of like an 64-bit around there.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I can't wait. That'll be fun, especially if one of them is coming out in just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is very, very awesome indeed. And what was even, in my opinion, more awesome, out of nowhere at the Microsoft press conference when they were talking about everything going on with the fancy new Xbox and everything, they decided to drop out of nowhere a trailer for a new LEGO Star Wars game. And this is set to release next year, 2020. Usually LEGO games drop in June. And so, again, this game promises to go through all 9 of the episodic films. And my question is, similarly to the retro games, is this something that interests y'all? And do you think they could add DLC additions to the game to include Solo, Rogue One, Clone Wars, and Rebel to make it the most complete Star Wars game to date?
Man, when I heard about this, I was freaking out because my game when I was little was Lego Star Wars: The Complete Saga. I mean, I had played through every episode.
I played it so much,
probably way too much. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I like Star Wars so much. I mean, that's just that game's so
nostalgic. That was probably kind of how you first entered into Star Wars.
It really probably was. I loved that game. And to hear that it's coming back, well, it's sort of coming back. I know it's going to be different, but it's going to be coming back with all 9 films. That really excited me. And now I'm hoping they keep it the same, because some of the, like the LEGO Force Awakens game, they have voice acting in it. You know, it's like from the movie or whatever. Or even exclusive voice acting, I think. But I don't want that, because they didn't have that in the original Complete Saga game. I want it to be almost
grunts
similar
and
to
stuff
that
like that
as possible. You know, better graphics, obviously, and a little bit different gameplay, but I'm hoping for very similar to the Complete Saga.
What about the what about you, BB Nix?
And you used to have the Complete Saga on the Wii.
Yeah.
And then we sold our Wii.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got you it for your birthday a few years ago for the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And we played it a little bit, but it's kind of like something we all browse and go and get it. But from the trailer, I've listened to it with sound on multiple times, and it was just grunts.
So it was like what you were used
like
to.
Like during a scene where there could be dialogue, it was just grunts. Okay.
Well, that's kind of cool.
It's good, but I'm really excited for this game. It's mainly, I think, going to be fan service just for the fans that wanted more games. They didn't release the LEGO game for Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
But they released one for Force Awakens, which I
played. Maybe that's why people were so salty about The Last Jedi.
They didn't have a LEGO game.
You know, if they had the LEGO game, everybody would have chilled out just a little bit. And I'm going to actually have to tweet to maybe Matt and Pablo and Ryan later and ask them if maybe they regret not having had seen that released in a LEGO version, because it would have changed everything.
It really would have.
Yeah. Hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
What I'm hoping for with this game is it introduces more kids to Star Wars and gets them into it. Because it's really what it is for me. That's what I attribute.
That's a really good point.
I'm hoping it comes back. As for the DLCs and stuff, I had heard about that. And I wouldn't entirely mind it. Even if they're paid DLCs and stuff, it's not like you're not getting a complete game. You're getting all 9 episodic films. That's fine.
Yeah, that's
the DLCs are for the extra stuff. For Clone Wars and Rebels, I feel like that's a lot.
That would be pretty impressive.
Yeah, that would be a massive DLC. Solo and Rogue One, that would be pretty easy to pull off, because it's very similar to the other levels or whatever, or other movies, because you just go through the movie. With the series, you've got arcs to play in, and Clone Wars, I mean, it's a pretty long series, so that would be no small feat if they were able to pull that one off. I would love to see it, though.
Do you think they're going to do it?
Yes. I think they...
At least the films. At least Solo and Rogue One.
But I think they can at least...
I hope they do it with Clone Wars and Rebels, because I think they could really pull it off if they wanted to. Maybe release... Like, you pay for a season pass with the Clone Wars, and then they release certain arcs at each time.
Well, that'd be kind of cool. Maybe they should hire you at Lucasfilm, like, and you can help them figure this stuff out.
That would be fun to play.
Droid arc, you're just like...
Droid arc.
But if they hire you at Lucasfilm to help them out with this, they have to make Turbis canon.
Right.
That's like part of the contract, right?
For like the first month.
The first month? Okay.
For the first month.
All right. No pressure. You know, interesting, and Ben Hart from over at Star Wars Underworld, who was commenting on Facebook, put out a post about this and talked about what this definitely means is more Porgs. And I immediately was like, oh, come on, baby. Let's figure out a way. Let's do it. Make Turbis canon. So.
We'll just have to end up like making a custom character that's a Porg and just naming it Turbis.
Just on another side note, somebody was like, I was like asking ways that you can make Turbis canon. Somebody was like, you go to Galaxy's Edge, which is canon, right? You buy a Porg or bring a Porg with you and name it Turbis, and you interact on video with a cast member there where they make it, they call it Turbis, and then Turbis becomes canon. And I'm like, no, that
hold Lucasfilm
no, that's not the way that it works.
See, that's not how it works.
Anyway, so
yeah. The only problem though I have with Turbis being canonized in a Lego is Lego, we all know, it's soft canon, like with the Freemaker Adventures and stuff. So you can't really trust it. There's no dialogue.
Beggars can't be. And yeah, but there's no dialogue from Turbis either.
No, but how would they say Turbis?
They could say it in the credits.
Are there credits?
There could be. Come on. There is. Stop stepping on my job. My. Yeah, anyway. All right, we should probably move on. All right.
And finally, as expected, we got the gameplay trailer and demo for Jedi Fallen Order, and much more than we expected. The gameplay trailer and demo for Jedi Fallen Order was released during the EA Play press conference. It impressed a lot of people, but it still leaves some people dissatisfied, of course, and still a little worried about this game. A lot of us were also surprised to a certain degree by a surprise cameo by Saw Gerrera. Now, what did you guys think of the gameplay, the Saw cameo, and do you think we'll see any other cameos?
They're both fighting over who's going to go first. Nope, I'm going to let BB Nate go first.
Oh, all right, go. Okay. We were watching a movie, and I kind of sneaked watching it during the whole...
We were having a Bourne marathon this weekend. Bourne marathon.
Which are good movies, but...
And
Tony Gilroy, Rogue One. All right.
Am I good?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Right. And I was watching it, and I'm like,
oh, the guy who did the soundtrack did the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. John Powell did the soundtrack, too. So, anyway.
Okay.
All right. It's a Star Wars world where I'll just live it in it. Go. Are you good? Ready? You ready? All right. We got it all out now. Go, BB Nate.
Okay.
But Bruce Banner's in the movie.
Oh, God. Stop. All right.
Yeah. All right,
seriously. Saw Gerrera. Talk, okay?
So, I really enjoyed just the gameplay of it. It's not Force Unleashed, and I'm happy about that, but it does have some aspects of the gameplay of what you do. You can use the Force abilities. Force Unleashed is more with the Force abilities, you use those more. This one's more lightsaber based. But I really like your little droid. That's really BD-1. Cool.
Yeah, that's like a common theme now in these games. It's Invader Immortal with the droid. It's in, obviously, Battlefront 2, all the Battlefront 2 with the droid there. So I guess they're having to integrate these droids in there to help you manipulate games.
You have to, with, the control panels and stuff, be able to open them. So you got to have a droid. No, I like the idea.
Or, Invader Immortal, you just use a Hydra Spanner.
Yeah, you do it yourself in most of that. I don't know why you have Zoe for...
Because she's got to talk for you. Go.
That's true. She is your voice. I loved it. I loved the way it looked. I loved the way it played. The way it looked like it played. Obviously, I haven't played it. It does have a Force Unleashed feel, which I like. I'm happy for that. That's one of the multiple gripes I've been hearing about this game, but, Star Wars...
Is that they're Star Wars fans.
Right. You won't be able to choose whether you're light side or dark side. And I just you do realize this game's canon. You can't have two endings for a game.
Well, could you imagine the continuity errors that would increase if
you have
could choose
X-Men
both of those endings?
Coming on here with the dual timeline?
Be the Star Wars multiverse.
Oh, Lord. So that's one thing. But people are like, just go play Knights of the Old Republic or something. We've got plenty of games where you can choose which side you align on. And then people are like, I miss Jedi Academy, where the saber was more of an elegant weapon. Now it looks like you're just swinging around a club. I'm like, I absolutely love the way they use the saber in this. It's very Force Unleashed feel, but it's cool, and it looks better on a video game.
What do you think about the storyline, though? Or at least what we've seen about the story and the cutscenes that we've seen and stuff like that.
I wasn't paying attention. He's basically saving some Wookiees, right?
Yeah, there's a big part of that. He gets to climb up. They've been trying for years to climb up an AT-AT or AT-AT. We don't judge and take a position on that issue, by the way.
But it's AT-AT.
It's whichever. It's you. It was an AT-AT when I was a kid. So sneak. AT-AT. Yeah, it's an AT-AT. Anyway,
well, that is in Star Wars fans for 40 years.
So yeah, is anyway. It an AT-AT?
No, it's just different. It's AT-AT. All right. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, you can climb up it. That was pretty cool. It looks like you can climb up it like you saw in Empire Strikes Back, which I really liked.
Yeah.
Freaking talk about the high ground. Stormtroopers talking about the high ground. I was so happy.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that made a lot of people happy, though, in the gameplay demo was that one line.
Yeah, I love the idea, too, of Saw Gerrera being in it and kind of getting a, you know, we've talked, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show or not, but we're talking about Saw Gerrera, so I'll mention it. You know, I always see Saw Gerrera and Mon Mothma as sort of playing off of two real life historical characters in the history of the revolution in Israel, like when Israel, the Jewish people were trying to take the land back. You had these two different factions in that. Most people don't realize you had this sort of a more mainstream trying to work through politics, and they ended up having to go to war, but they were like trying to do things as less violent as possible with David Ben-Gurion, who became the first prime minister of Israel after they founded the country. But then you had this other faction led by this guy named Menachem Begin. They were flat out terrorists, and they were constantly warring with each other. These two factions were like constantly not warring but battling with each other in the behind the scenes to try to figure out who was going to rule it. And it reminds me of Saw Gerrera and Mon Mothma and everything with that. I'm really excited to see more of Saw, see more of him interacting with Jedi, because we see him, the Rogue One version of him sort of, it doesn't have a Jedi element to it, but he's constantly interacting with Jedi in Clone Wars when he's in his arcs. Rebels. He interacts with them in Rebels, and so now we get to see sort of that in-between period on that. I'm excited about that.
One thing I've noticed is that in Rogue One, he's got the metal legs and he's all messed up, but then in this, he's using a grappling hook and, like, flying around. He's totally fine.
That's interesting.
Do you think we find out how he gets all messed up in this? Because I thought we were going to learn in Rebels how that happened, but that didn't happen. So do you think that would be the case in this?
I don't know. We really don't have a timeline where this is set before.
It's set about, what, 5 or 6 years, JG? 5 or 6 years after Order 66 is what I understand?
It should be,
Okay. And they released the what the comic series is going to be about that was rumored. It's going to be a prequel.
To this series? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I think that would be a really interesting way for them to answer the story or answer the questions about how Saw became sort of the messed up guy. He was already in that state when we see him in Rebels, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So cool. What do you think about that, JG?
It's very interesting. I'm glad we're getting more Saw. Saw's such a unique character, and seeing him travel through it all is really amazing. When it comes to the gameplay, I actually really enjoyed the gameplay. I thought it was really kind of like slow paced and methodical, and that was really interesting. And I think a lot of people are concerned that it's not going to be like, it's super linear. But I was reading an article from Game Informer where basically before this, it sets it up where it's very explorative and you can go to different planets at different times and do different missions at different times. And so while the game is not technically an open world game like Skyrim or The Witcher, it is a game that will allow you to some degree make choices in when you do your missions.
But it won't affect. But the storyline stuff will all end up being canon in the
exactly.
So it won't be like The Force Unleashed where it's just level by level one linear story. Okay, so I don't know if you're familiar with the Destiny games, but would it be more similar to that?
Similar, yes.
Okay,
interesting.
Minus multiplayer, but yes,
right.
I'm a little worried because they did that with Anthem, kind of, where you could choose different missions from there. It wasn't really linear. You could choose different missions across the playing field. It wasn't different, say, planet by planet. It was a field of different missions that you could choose, not linear. I'm feeling that that's what this is going for.
And Anthem was not well received?
No, not at all.
I think they'll have side missions, because every video game does. You know, every video game has side missions. But then they'll have the main mission, which continues the story. Very much like... think of it like Arkham, Nate. Okay, you know, you have the linear missions, but you could explore the city and do stuff too.
So oh, that would be kind of cool.
Exactly.
Okay. So,
all right. I wouldn't mind that at all. All
right. And like probably the last third of that conversation, I have no idea what we were talking about. All right. And so happy Father's Day to me. All right. Thank you, JG.
We'll educate you for Father's Day. That's our plans.
That's it. All right. JG, thank you so much for joining us again. We'll talk to you next week. You got a Blue Saber podcast dropping this week, or are you taking a break?
Yes. Finally, yes. It is coming. It's been a process, but it's here. It's back, and we're ready this Saturday.
All right. Let me know when it's out. I want to put it out on Twitter. Okay, buddy?
All right. Thank you.
Talk to you next week, man.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sorry to interrupt your music, but if you shop online, you need to hear this. Truth is, there are deals out there you're probably not getting. That's why there's Honey. Honey is a free browser extension that scans the internet for discounts when you shop online, then applies the biggest savings to your cart automatically. It works on Amazon, Nike, Best Buy, Target, practically everywhere you shop. Exactly. Add Honey for free at joinhoney.com/audio. That's joinhoney.com/audio.
All right, so now fathers are a critical element to the Star Wars story. Everybody knows that. But why? What's their greater purpose? And what about the other father figures that might not be biologically related? So in honor of Father's Day, we'll be sharing some thoughts on this along with our favorite fathers or father figures from a galaxy far, far away.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so Father's Day's coming. And, yes. You know, we talk a lot about, obviously, everybody knows the most famous line in all of Star Wars history is...
I am your father.
All right, so fathers are a big part of this. And then, of course, everybody's freaking out, wondering who Rey's daddy is. And there's all these things, you know, the relationship between... We talked a little bit about this, I think, a year ago on our Father's Day episode. But it was more about, like, Bail and Bail Organa and... Rey's daddy or Jin's daddy, Galen Erso.
Rey's daddy? We don't know Rey's daddy. That's the whole
that's
thing.
That's Han Solo. I mean, everybody knows that, right? Right?
Every word in that sense
actually,
was
no,
wrong.
She came from a test tube.
Yeah, she's a test tube baby. And now I really want to go ahead and start listening to Weird Al Yankovic. I think
I knew you were going to go there.
But anyway, we'll just go ahead and play that and move on to the episode. No, I'm kidding. You know, we talked about real father figures, I think, sort of, last week, but we didn't really get into why fathers are such a central storyline within this. It's interesting because, you know, the core, we talked about this before on the show, the core of the story, of what Star Wars is all about is the idea of the hero's journey. So, what's the problem
here? Nathan was hit in the face, and I'm kind of getting slapped at me, so ignore me.
Yawning and stuff like that?
He was trying to stifle a yawn, and it, like, the face he made was this weird grin.
Like, eyeballs look like
and I just look over, and I got tickled.
All right, so explain kind of what's going on in the hero's journey, Sam, so we can, continue on the conversation. And
so, what I feel like normally, like, what a hero's journey is a character from nowhere... is told that he has a greater purpose in the universe, is whisked off in his grand adventure by a wizard of some sort, or a wise person, and is given a weapon that is got significance. Or you can go with Frodo. I mean, in pretty much any good hero story.
Even weapon.
And then he, you know, he finds out he has these hidden powers inside of him that he like
not always though. I mean, when there are powers involved in the galaxy or the universe or the storyline, then that occurs. But you can have heroes journeys without superpowers.
Okay, yeah. And then, you know, he finds this greater threat. He has to save the world or the galaxy or the universe or whatever. He's got these friends along the way. Usually there's a damsel in distress. There's a scoundrel. You know, we talked about the wizard. And then there's always the bad guys. And then, you know, they save the day. That's usually how the story goes. And as that story is going along, the hero matures. He goes from this... I'm just going to use Luke, this farm boy, to being this war hero. So that's usually the general formula for a hero's journey.
That's interesting because, you know, I had written out here what I understood the hero's journey to be, and you were talking about it. And I'm like, wow, I think that we both are on agreement on this. So the hero leaves the world that they know, enters a new one.
I did, too.
You understood it, too?
Yeah.
That's good. We even have it written down. All right, so I'm going to read what I wrote down. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right, thanks, man. All right, this thing's a train wreck. This week. All right, the hero leaves the world that they know and enters a new one with a much larger story, including love and romance, along with danger and villains. Is that kind of where it starts? Yeah. Okay, and then the mentor, and in this case, you can kind of consider the wizard or the that character that functions as a father figure.
Yeah.
In these storylines, they're critical because they help the hero begin to understand that what world they are entering. As they begin this journey, they have to help them understand the world that they're going into, how it works, and what they need for the journey. So, you know, the storylines with that could be, I was thinking about three characters specifically. You've got Morpheus with Neo in The Matrix, sort of functions as that same type of a character, explains to him the world that the Matrix is and how to get into it, how to function within it, what he's getting ready to face. Of course, you mentioned it as well, but Gandalf with Frodo, giving him, you know, helping him understand the ring, helping him understand the danger there. So he's leaving Hobbiton, leaving sort of this
Shire
simple life and going into a world of danger, but also adventure. And then even Glinda and Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She comes in, she explains she's got to go on this journey.
That's a mother figure.
No, but yeah, it's the same kind of an idea, right? It's a mentor figure, and she gives her the shoes and that kind of situation. So,
And we could keep on listing these. This is just a small, like, portion. Any good hero's journey follows this formula.
Right, exactly. And so I was, you know, as I was preparing the notes for the show, I was thinking about how it really is a father figure type situation. And you know, Nate, you're just moving into sort of your early teenage years. You're not at the point where you're making those big decisions and those big journey moments yet. You're sort of just like, you get to be a kid still for a little bit longer in some ways, right? I mean, there's some decisions that you make, but Sam, 18 years old, just graduated high school, getting ready.
You're important now.
Well, no, not important, but literally you're moving from this safe bubble, this world, into a bigger world, and there is romance and love potentially down the road for you.
Potentially.
Hey, I don't see it. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, you know. No. Any girls out there that are, you know, in that 16 to 20-year-old range area that love Star Wars and are cute, you know, you can send in your photos and a bio to tatooinesons.com.
This is like the Bachelor.
Yeah, we'll do Star the Bachelor
Wars edition.
Instead of the roses, he'll give out lightsabers.
No, okay. Instead of roses, he'll say hello there.
Hello there. Yeah. No, anyway, but you got romance and love, but then you've also got, like, adventure. What are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to live? What is, you know, all of those different, what jobs are you going to have? And then there's also, like, the real world, the danger, you know,
I'm not ready for this. Right. I feel like an adult.
But here's the point that I'm making. You're right. You're not. You need someone to guide you into, this is what you need to be looking out for. These are good decisions. I'm not going to be able to make them for you, but here's the way the real world works, and now prepare yourself for it. And, you know, the way, again, we're not shy and we don't hide it on this show at all. We come from a biblical Christian perspective. We believe that God sort of created humanity for the father figure to be the one, the father himself, to be the one to guide you. you know, someone in that process with it. So it's interesting that we see this archetype so prevalent in the storyline with it. Or in Star Wars, of course, you've got Luke with Ben. That's where the storyline begins. But you have more than that. You have Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi. You have Saw Gerrera and Jin. These characters are all functioning in that same level with
this. It's weird. I'm sure there is one, but I'm trying to find a hero story where the father figure is the actual biological father. I'm having a tough time finding one.
In like a mythology type scenario?
Something like a hero's journey story.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know?
I have a hard time actually finding one.
Because in all mythology, the father dies.
Yeah, that's true. The father, you know, they're abandoned. They're orphans. There is no father with Anakin, right? The Force. Well, maybe. There's a
father. You gotta read the Darth Vader comic series to understand.
So yeah. All right. So we're gonna share now a little bit like what are some of our favorite father figures? Not necessarily physical fathers, because you know
you have a hard time finding them.
You have Han screwed that one up. He feels like he did, and obviously Anakin wasn't the best daddy to Luke and Leia. Anakin didn't have a daddy. Screwed over the
galaxy.
We don't know who Rey's daddy is. If maybe Han screwed that one up too, right? That's the rumor. But anyway, let's go through the group. I'm gonna have BB Nate. I'm gonna have you go last.
Because
I think yours is the one that's the most curious.
I was reading the sheet and I'm like, why are you having Nathan go first?
So I'll have you go first, Samuel. Here,
mine was easy and instantaneous. I knew it as soon as
I should have woken up before you, because I was gonna say that one.
Well, you actually tweeted. Tell us what you messaged to both of us.
I said, but what did
you when you read the message where I was explaining to you what the topic was and you had to pick a father figure?
I said, well, I'm worried to say it because I'm pretty sure you guys will already pick it or
both of us would pick it.
Right.
And you were right. I had already picked it, but I deferred to you on that. BB Nate hadn't woke up yet, so he didn't get a chance to. So who is it?
It's Kanan Jarrus.
Yeah.
Easy. I love the way how he feels like he's not perfect. You know, the scene that really comes to mind about this when I was, we just watched the episode recently with Tristan, is where, oh my gosh, what's her name? Luminara, Master Luminara. He's trying to, you know, Ezra thinks that he's trying to dump him with Luminara because he just doesn't feel like he can train Ezra or whatever. Doesn't want, you know, doesn't think Ezra can be trained.
Because he never got his training fully completed.
Right. And then afterward, you know, they're sitting on the ramp of the ghost. And, you know, he's talking to Ezra. And long story short, Ezra's like, yeah, I don't want another trainer. I don't want the best trainer. I want you. You know, because he connects with him. And I not to put words in your mouth or speak for you, but I feel like when you become a father...
We don't have a sneeze button on this show, by the way.
When you become a father, perhaps you don't always feel adequate at first.
When you become a father, you never feel adequate.
Okay. So I'm not speaking
like out of line. Like in Endgame, Tony Stark said that.
Exactly, yeah, when he's talking to his dad
father
as a father figure. That's weird.
But then again, in mythology, he wasn't there for the father figure.
That's true. Weird.
Anyway, that's weird, right? but, you know, Kanan doesn't feel adequate, but that's okay because Ezra doesn't want someone who's adequate. He wants
the person he has a relationship with that he cares about and that he knows cares about him.
Would be better for him than someone who he doesn't have an emotional connection.
Yeah.
And Jason now doesn't have a father.
I'm just gonna go.
Jason Syndulla. Oh yeah, that's true. God.
That's so weird.
It is weird how that happens.
Stories and killing off the hero's dad.
Yeah, which always ends up resulting in someone else having to step in.
Mm-hmm.
Even as we're talking about how Kanan feels inadequate because he didn't have a mentor, it really is Order 66 that sort of stops Kanan's hero's journey to some extent.
It puts it on hold.
Right, until all of this stuff starts happening in Rebels a little bit before we see this. He's like all out for himself in A New Dawn, the book, with it. He connects with Hera in that book, but we don't know the story between what happens in A New Dawn and the first episode of Star Wars Rebels. We see that he's much more a part of this rebel cell element with
the ghost crew.
With the ghost crew, with Zeb and with Sabine, but he's still not functioning as like the father figure in that story.
Not really.
At this point, it really is being thrust into that because of Ezra, mm-hmm. that he becomes the Kanan that everybody falls in love with at the end. I feel like we're going to end up watching a lot of Rebels this weekend, guys, just so you know.
and just a few episodes into season one, they start calling Sabine and Ezra and
the kids.
Even Zeb the kids, you know? So
I think we should just watch season four.
Nope, I'm enjoying this rewatch stuff that we
have. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm going to go next because we're going to save BB Nates for the end, all right?
I don't have that much pressure on me.
I know, lots of pressure. You're going to do this, all right? I'm a fan of Kenobi. But it's not just Kenobi with Luke in that, you know, the classic example that see from Star Wars. Old Ben in his hut telling him the story of the Force, telling him the story of Anakin Skywalker, his father, even though it was only true from a certain point of view. giving him the lightsaber, helping him, you know, guiding him into this new era, moving him in the hero's journey. You know, we have that. And of course, that's true. And we see that him, that continue on as he's a Force ghost in Empire and Return of the Jedi. But also, we see him thrust into this role very similar to what we just talked about with Kanan by what happens at the end of Phantom Menace when Qui-Gon dies and makes Obi-Wan Kenobi promise to take Anakin as his Padawan. And the reality is, he's much too young to take a Padawan. Mm. They explore this in something else that I've read recently.
Master and Apprentice?
I'm not sure it was Master and Apprentice. I think it might have been in Queen's Shadow. They mentioned this in passing, where he's, you know, he's maybe 22 years old. He hasn't even gone through the trials yet.
He hasn't become a knight yet?
He hasn't been awarded the rank of master yet to where he can take on a Padawan. So he's just like brand new knight or something. No, because he still has the Padawan braid.
Yeah.
In that he hasn't gone through the trials.
He hasn't even.
And so he's awarded the status of Jedi Knight in the field. That's what they mentioned in Queen's Shadow. In the field as because of what happens with Anakin and Qui-Gon on the promise. Wow. And so they basically say, what you did, you killed the first Sith that's been killed in 1,000 years. You avenged your master. I don't know if that's the way they looked at it, but you did all of this. You've gone through the trials. They make him a knight right there in the field so that he can take Anakin as his Padawan. And he's thrust into it. And then you know in the comic books that there's this period of time that goes on that's very similar to what happens with both Dooku and Qui-Gon that you hear about in Master and Apprentice, mm-hmm. which is another father figure. The Padawan master relationship is straight out of this father figure idea. But then you learn in the comic series that Obi-Wan doesn't ever feel adequate in being the master of Anakin. So it goes back to that same idea with it. I love the idea of Kenobi as sort of this father figure to Anakin, even though they're much more brothers, and they call themselves that. You were my brother is one of the most famous scenes in Revenge of the Sith. You know, you were the chosen one, you were my brother, all this stuff with it. I think that the problem that we see in the Clone Wars TV series and the Clone Wars, or excuse me, Revenge of the Sith and Attack of the Clones, is Obi-Wan didn't understand his role as the father figure. He wanted to be the friend as much as he wanted to be the mentor. And so, as a father, we have a great time together.
Right.
You know, this Star Wars stuff that we do, we joke and we pick on each other and we say things. But there are times where if people heard the things that we say to each other, you guys to me and me to you, as far as like could be considered disrespectful to each other or uncaring from my perspective. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we giggle and we laugh about it and we move on. So there's a friendship level to our relationship. But there's no doubt in our relationship where the pecking order is, and that my primary responsibility is not to be your friend. my primary responsibility is to be your father. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Obi-Wan Kenobi missed that because he was so young. He needed to be mentoring. He needed to be father figuring Anakin. Mm-hmm. Instead, he wanted to be his friend. Anakin needed somebody to say, you can't be going around and fascinating being fascinated with Padme. You know, not this buddy-buddy thing on the elevator.
Right.
You haven't seen her 10 years, you know, be mindful of your feelings and move on. Dude, everybody knows that they were together by later on in that, between those two. Mm-hmm. You watch the Clone Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi knows they're together. You watch Revenge of the Sith, he knows they're together. But the friend element forced him to ignore it when he needed to be the father. In this, he needed to say, Anakin, this is detrimental to you with it, and needed to address it. And so I love that from that perspective, because that's a lesson to fathers, a lesson to me as a father, to remember that even as we get older and we move into adulthood, you move into adulthood, and then in a few years you, there's a point where you're still going to be looking to me as your father, and you need to be looking to me as your father. You're getting married. Eventually, right? Praise, you know, I'll be happy when you get out of the house and you marry. No, I'm just kidding. See, that's kind of joking. We're talking
there's
about.
There's the jokes they were in. Yeah.
No, so let's say, you know, 10 years down the road, you're married and you're struggling with your marriage. It's not my responsibility to be your buddy. If you're, you know, it's my responsibility to mentor you into that new world. As a father, it's my responsibility to mentor you into what you have to do to be a father with it. And I think that we sort of lost some of that in our society. And so that's one of the things that I love about the Kenobi thing. All right, that's my
now. As you're saying, he's more of a buddy, not a father. Well, they explain that in Revenge of the Sith. Even you were my brother.
Exactly. Mm. He needed to be a father figure.
And I think he learns from that mistake when he's talking to Luke and even Ezra for the brief moment they were together on Tatooine.
Yeah, so but it's the age. I think it's important to remember that Kenobi was thrust into this role when he was barely an adult. And it'd be like you taking on, you know, a year or two from now, you having to adopt a 10-year-old kid.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? That would be, like, terrifying. Nope. It would be terrifying.
And I wouldn't have necessarily you to help me along.
Exactly, because Qui-Gon's gone.
Right.
At this point. And so he doesn't have that. So, All right, BB Nate, we've been building this up for the entire segment here. Who's your favorite, or when you, you're an interesting father figure, at least, from your perspective?
Anakin's father. I mean, I'm just joking. He didn't have a father. Chief Palpatine.
Chief.
This is going to be an interesting one. I really think that he's one of the most interesting father figures, even though he is not a biological father, which none of them were.
Maybe he is. If you read Dark Lord of the Sith. Issue 25, it seems to suggest he may have had something to do with the birth of Anakin Skywalker. Maybe his daddy. Who knows? Anyway, keep going.
I know. That was kind of where I was trying to go with my theory, and then I'm like, wait, that's a little bit too strange and not confirmed, so I'm just going to leave that.
You'll leave that aside, okay? So explain more what you mean by this, though.
Why I really think that he is a father figure. He believes in him. Well,
believes in who?
Anakin.
Okay.
He believes
in his abilities. He supports him. He does everything a father normally would and cared for him and everything, but with the dark, evil, twisted reasoning behind it, so he's not really a father. He's more like a stepfather.
An evil stepfather.
An evil stepfather.
Not all stepfathers are bad.
No, I'm not saying that.
Oh, jeez.
But
we need to have a disclaimer real quick here.
Maybe Nate needs his own Twitter account so you guys can attack him on there. I'm just picking on you. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But one of the things that is really, he's like, I will watch your career with great interest, kind of reassuring him more that you'll be doing great. I'm going to watch your career. You're going to have a long one, and I'm going to have interest in it.
You got a buddy.
But how does it play itself out throughout the prequels and the Clone Wars?
He kind of starts getting a little bit darker, but still says, I'm going to reassure you, I'm still watching your career and everything. And then he gets Revenge of the Sith and kind of twists really, really quickly. He's like, join me.
Flat out says it.
Just, I'm the dark side user, all the kind of stuff that...
Yeah, but I think that you're missing the main idea with this. I think you're onto it. I just don't think you're able to
communicate
to verbalize what you're feeling with this. You know, Sheev Palpatine, Chancellor Palpatine, is constantly like mentoring Anakin by, you know, presenting it to the Jedi Council, giving him advice on how to handle the Jedi Council, giving him advice on how to advance his own standing through this. He gets him appointed to the Jedi Council. So there's these all these different elements. It almost kind of plays into what we're talking about earlier in the very beginning when we were talking about could Plagueis be Palpatine and then Palpatine moving to Snoke. You know, maybe it's almost this idea of one of the challenges that fathers have sometimes, a lot of times, is they're trying to live vicariously through their children. Mm. And perhaps that's kind of what we see happening here to some extent with Sheev.
Almost quite literally with the theory we were talking about.
Exactly.
A
ago. Yeah, at the beginning of the show that DJ sent in there. So, yeah, I think that's it's an interesting, you know, a bad example of a father.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting one there. I've got some honorable mentions here. I think that we need to note that for the brief moment that we see Han and Rey together, Han really is, whether or not he is her father, which I don't think that he is, and you can go back to our episode where we talk about that theory and pretty much, I hope, debunk it. But Han functions as a father figure with Rey. He's mentoring her. He's helping her. You know, that whole sequence with Finn and Rey on the Falcon when he's explaining the Jedi, the Force, all of it. It's true. It's like exposing her to that next, that world that she didn't know about with it.
He's almost a father figure to Finn as well.
A little bit. Not so much, but a little bit with it. He does. You're right, because there's the giving the guns, the weapons to both of them.
Women always find out the truth.
Yeah, in that kind of situation. So he's functioning in that. And it may be because Han regrets how he handled himself with Ben. And so he's trying to repair that in what he sees in Rey and what he sees in Finn. He's trying to fix those mistakes that he made with Ben with it. I think that's the one. We talked about this earlier, but Saw Gerrera with Jyn Erso is a definite father figure. And then we mentioned it just a minute ago, Qui-Gon, I think, with Obi-Wan, especially now with Master and Apprentice with it. Of all of these different characters, who do you think is your favorite?
I still gotta go with Kanan. I mean, I would have picked him otherwise.
Probably would have. Yeah, I have a feeling that we know what we're doing for at least some of the day on Saturday now. All right, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah, so a Star Wars Rise of Skywalker theory explains the Palpatine-Rey connection. The gist of the theory is that Luke's hand, we talked some about this previous one episodes, but Luke's hand was taken to Jakku, one of the Emperor's cloning facilities, and was used to create Rey. And then two junk traders.
So this is where it gets a little bit more unique than I've never heard
of. Right, this is where
a different element.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is after the destruction of the
Emperor's facilities. We don't know that it was a cloning facility. It really wasn't a cloning facility, but this is the theory that they were doing cloning.
Yeah, let's assume for the argument's sake that it was a cloning facility. Okay. Two junk traders stumble upon it after it's been destroyed, looking for things to sell for money, and then they find Rey, and they sell her off for drinking money, and that would fulfill Kylo's statement.
It's an interesting theory.
It is.
It ties in sort of the clone theory, the Luke's hand theory, the Wraith believes that those are her parents. That's what Kylo Ren sees in the Force, brings in Palpatine, brings in why Jakku is such an important story theme, both in the Aftermath series and now. What do you think about that idea?
It's very interesting, but again, it's just a theory. We'll have to wait.
It's
plausible.
Okay.
Very plausible. So, which are you most excited about, Fallen Order or Lego the Skywalker Saga? Go with you first, Sam.
Me? Oh, that's actually really difficult. I'm excited for both of them for different reasons. I'm excited for the Lego one just because it's, a nostalgic thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited for Fallen Order just because I feel like the gameplay is going to be fun, but it's also going to be a new story. So I can't really say I'm more excited for one or the other. It's different.
Yeah, I would say Fallen Order just because it's new canon material, and that's what makes it exciting for me. What about you, BB?
I
Fallen Order.
Fallen Order. Cool. Alphabet Squadron by Alexander Freed is out. As we recorded this, it just came out today. I just want you guys to know that.
I saw.
Did you see that? Yeah. Am I getting that for Father's Day?
I don't know. Are you?
I got a bad feeling about this.
All right. We'll have to see. All right. This week's podcast poll of the week. We're just going to talk about this whole father figure thing. Who's your favorite Star Wars father figure? Again, if we read your reply on the air, you're going to receive a Make Turbis Cannon sticker. So go to Twitter and we'll have this on our page. We'll be tweeting it out regularly. If you're not following us on Twitter, what's wrong with you? Follow us on Twitter. Sorry.
You're not a true Star Wars
fan. No, if you're not listening to Blue Saber Podcast, whenever he finally gets that episode out, you're not a true Star Wars
fan. This Saturday.
It's going to happen. So, of course, we got Kenobi, Kanan, she, or other comment below. We'd love for you to share your comments, either why you agree with our choices or why you have your own. So that's going to pretty much do it for this week. I want to thank our producers. You guys are absolutely amazing. DJ Blake. Got to get that right. Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson, of course. And then our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers, Judith Jesse, hi Grammy, and Roberto Moreno, and of course, JG Kars, our executive producer. Check out Blue Saber Podcast when that episode drops this week. If you want to become a Patreon supporter and one of our producers, we'd love for you guys to check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/TatooineSons. You'll find us all over social media at Tatooine Sons. We're on Twitter more than anything, do a little bit on Facebook, very little on Instagram, and I have no idea how to use Snapchat.
Do podcasts even use Snapchat?
Yeah, they do all the time. I just don't know how to do
really?
It. Yeah, I don't know. So you can find us on that. Please go to your podcast service and give us a rating and a review. You can also do that on Facebook. And that helps people on Facebook find us, and so we would love for you to do that as well. That should do it. Anything else that you guys can think of?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Get to Old Navy's Best of Summer Sale now for the best summer styles at the best prices. Get $2 flip-flops, $4 tanks, $6 tees, and $8 dresses and shorts for the whole family. Summer styles are just $2, $4, $6, and $8. $2 flip-flops, $4 tanks, $6 tees, and $8 dresses and shorts. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store for free. End soon at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 6/10 to 6/18. Excludes gift cards. Today only and two-day only deals. Store clearance, register lane items, and jewelry. Get to Old Navy's Best of Summer Sale now for the best summer styles at the best prices. Get $2 flip-flops, $4 tanks, $6 tees, and $8 dresses and shorts for the whole family. Summer styles are just $2, $4, $6, and $8. $2 flip-flops, $4 tanks, $6 tees, and $8 dresses and shorts. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store for free. End soon at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 6/10 to 6/18. Excludes gift cards. Today only and two-day only deals. Store clearance, register lane items, and jewelry.